She just exudes the love of Jesus. She just knows how to love and care for people no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what. She just knows how to love from a heart. And a bit of my testimony, some of you know my story. I won't get into too much detail, but, you know, I was born at a very young age I grew up in a family where my mum was very loving and my dad was a fairly distant kind of a bloke. Great guy, nothing wrong with him, you know, provided for our family, you know, told good jokes, all that kind of stuff. He was great. I didn't have a close relationship with my father. He was like a passive father, you know what I mean? And I never really learnt how to love. I never really learned how to open my heart to people. And, you know, many of you know my story. I was married very young and divorced at the age of 25 and really went through a horrible time in my life at the age of 25. Just felt like I lost everything. Felt like, you know, the job, I lost my job at the time. Everything, I was just in the valley at the time. And, you know, my heart broke. And when I went to the Vineyard Church up at Launton, and the pastor there really cared for me and loved me and counseled me, and it was a great time of really healing in my heart. But I became very guarded, I wouldn't give my heart to anyone. And you know what? I really had to open my heart up to God too in that time. I think in the valley, in that tough time in my life, I reached out to God and gave Him my heart more than ever in my whole life. So I had the God connection right. But still, when it came to other people, I was very guarded in my heart. And then Carol and I started dating and fell in love and everything. And I saw the love that she had for her family, for her friends, for everyone at church, for kids, for wherever we went, Carol just loved people. And it was one of the things that attracted to me to her more than anything, that I just thought, this woman has the most amazing heart. And I basically said, Lord, I want a heart like she's got. I've been guarded and closed off and calloused and dry in my heart. I want to have a loving heart like Carol's got. And so in that time when we started dating and we you know, eventually got engaged and married, I feel like the Lord did heart surgery on me. He took out my hard heart and my wounded heart and my battle-scarred heart, and He placed in a heart of love. And walking alongside Carol, it was that, I think it's osmosis is the term, you know, when you become like the people you're around, you know. And I just wanted to honor my wife, you know, and that's why I got her to share up here before, because I've never seen anyone with a more beautiful, pure, loving heart than my wife. And I would suggest that a number of you have been through stuff in your life where your heart's been broken, where your heart has been mishandled, your heart has been trampled on, your heart has been attacked. The devil has come in and tried to put things in your heart to create a blockage between you and God. There's a battlefield going on in our heart. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is the one that heals hearts. He picks up the broken pieces of your heart and He puts it back together. The Holy Spirit is the salve that fixes it all up and brings it all together and makes it beautiful again. Out of the ashes rises beauty. Out of the pain, healing comes. Out of the brokenness, He puts it together through His blood. So whatever the condition of your heart is today, Jesus wants to heal your heart. And it's all about the heart. The last couple of weeks I talked about the battlefield of the mind, about how with our thoughts we get invaded all the time by the enemy and lies and rejection and discouragement, all this, you know, and we need to learn to reject those thoughts. But you know what, if you've got your heart right before God, it's easy to reject those thoughts and to win the battlefield of the mind. And another message I brought, and these are on the podcast if you want to hear them, I talked about the battlefield of the body, how our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to make sure that we honor God with our body. We've got to eat well. We've got to drink lots of water. We've got to exercise. We've got to do all this stuff. And it's interesting that all that stuff helps you have a healthy heart, doesn't it? And it's fine for me to say, hey, you've got to look after your body. You've got to be healthy. You've got to do this. But if your heart's not in the right condition, often what's on the outside is a display of what's on the inside. It all comes back to what is our heart like. Who is residing in your heart? Have you let the enemy come into your heart? Have you let all these unforgiveness and unworthiness and lies and all this stuff, have you let that stuff fill your heart? Well, today I really felt the Lord wants to bring healing to our hearts. That we're gonna say, God, like that worship song, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you everything. When we give it to Him, He takes His nail-pierced hands and He holds our heart and He says, I love you. I'm going to heal you. I've got a plan for you and a purpose for you. I'm going to mold your heart and you're going to be the person I've called you to be. Because if the heart is fixed, it flows out in our body. It flows out in our thoughts. It flows out in our hip pocket with our finances. It flows out in our words. It flows out in our relationships, in the way we raise our kids, in the way we work. If our heart is right before God, it flows out about it in every part of our life. It's all about the heart. And you know, you go to the doctor. What's the first thing the doctor does? Puts on the thing and checks your heart. Checks to see how your heart's going. Listens to it. I got some stats here if you're interested. You know, I'm like a bit of a doctor today, you know, the heart doctor. One of the first things the doctor checks out is your heart. It beats at around 75 to 80 beats per minute. Just put your hand on your heart. Just feel it beating. If it's not beating, be healed in Jesus' name. Get up off the floor. Cardiovascular diseases remain the biggest cause of deaths worldwide. Interesting, isn't it, that the number one cause of death worldwide is people with heart problems. To lower the risks, you've got to eat healthier, you've got to exercise, you've got to avoid smoking, you've got to live a healthier life. If you appropriate that to our spirituality, what's all the spiritual junk that you get into? And how does that affect your heart? What kind of negative stuff do you get in from the TV, from the internet, from toxic people speaking into your life, from lies that the enemy spoken to you, from stuff that's going down? The heart pumps blood to every part of your body. Whatever's in your heart will determine how the rest of your body goes. What kind of spiritual stuff is in your heart right now? What needs to be cleaned out? We all have many things vying for the attention of our heart. The Bible warns us that we need to guard our heart from the enemy. Jesus said in the parable of the sower, and you'll see this on your screen, in Luke 8:15, He said, the ones with good hearts who seize the word of God and hold on no matter what must stick with it until there's a harvest. God's testing our hearts to see if we'll be faithful to the call that He's placed on our lives. Will we be faithful to God with our hearts? So today we're going to have a free spiritual heart checkup. What's the condition of your heart like? Is it full of love for God? Is it full of love for others? Do you have a heart to serve? It's interesting, Mike London made the comment before about how the convict ships came out and stopped off at Coffs Harbour. There actually was a Leonard Charles Prater on the Sirius in the First Fleet, but he wasn't a convict, he was a servant, Mike. The heart of a servant, it's in my family. Just using a bit of history there, you know. Just, I don't know if it lines up, I'm just saying, you know. Is your heart a heart to serve? Or is your heart full of selfishness? Is your heart full of anger? Is your heart full of unworthiness? Is your heart just empty? Is it a void? Is it a vacuum? Is your heart numb? You don't feel anything. What's the condition of your heart like? It's interesting that a whole bunch of pop songs have been used over the years. You know, Kylie Minogue, put your hand on your heart and tell me, you know, it's all about the heart. You look at other songs that have come out over the years. John Farnham, two strong hearts whisked together. You know, all these romantic notions of hearts are in pop songs these days. How can you mend a broken heart? You know, there's all these songs about the heart. Because I think the writers of these songs know that if they can write a good song about the heart, it's going to get people thinking. Because everyone knows that the heart is the most precious thing that you've been given. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to be careful who you give your heart. All these love songs are about heart. And think of the great worship songs about heart. The Reuben Morgan song from Hillsong, "Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul." Matt Redman's song, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship." You know, many churches these days are just very religious and they just go through their hymns or go through their praise songs and chorus songs and they're just like robots worshiping, singing. But we've got to come back to the heart of worship. Worship is spirit and in truth. God is looking for faithful hearts that will worship Him from our hearts. The other, one of the most popular worship songs of all time says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Is the eyes of your heart closed? Have you become numb? Have you become religious? Have you become full of tradition? Maybe today the Lord will open the eyes of your heart and your heart will be cleansed and free. Another favorite worship song of mine says, "Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face." That should be part of our prayer life regularly, Lord. We say, "Lord, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts." The psalmist writes the powerful prayer that I know Keith Green has sung in one of his songs, Lord. "Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Purify my heart." In the prayer room before the service today, my prayer was that the refining fire of the Holy Spirit would come and purify and cleanse out our hearts. Get rid of all the dross, all the sin, all the stuff that's clogging up our hearts. So in our journaling this week, we had a look through the book of Luke, and this verse in Luke 8:15 really stood out to me. You'll see it on the screen there, Luke 8:15. And I just want to encourage you, I really believe one of the first things that you can measure your heart is when you read the Word of God. When you pick up the Bible, when you read the Scriptures, it's like a diagnosis from a doctor about how your heart is. Constantly I'm reading the Bible and it'll say, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And I'll think, oh yeah, how am I going with my finances? Am I honoring God with my finances, with my treasure? I'll read something about loving your wife and I'll think, okay, Lord, I've got to do a self-diagnosis on myself. Am I loving my wife from my heart? I'll read about being a true worshiper with my heart. Okay, Lord, am I just becoming fake in my worship or am I truly worshiping you from my heart? When you read the Word of God, it's like a self-diagnosis of how your heart is. And that's why we need to be reading it every day. Our church has just signed up, and over 2,800 churches around Australia have signed up for the Bible Society campaign, Live Light in 25 Words. I really believe this is part of God's recipe for revival in this nation, that there's almost 3,000 churches around Australia that have committed to reading at least 25 words of the Scripture every day. Now, here at New Hope, we promote reading 4 chapters a day. We believe getting into journaling and reading through the Word of God. But if you haven't started, just pick up the Bible and read a couple of verses every day and see what the Lord does. Joshua 1:8 says, "Meditate on this book of the Lord day and night. Don't let its words depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything written in it. Then I'll make you prosperous and successful." Get into the Word of God every day. So if you haven't signed up for the challenge yet, search for the Bible Society page. Talk to Joe over here, the Queensland boss of the Bible Society, whatever your job is. And sign up, get involved in reading the Word of God every day. There's a whole bunch of great devotionals and stuff they put out as well. I heard Pastor Greg Laurie talking about when we read the Word of God, it's like filling ourselves up so that there's no room left for the enemy. He said that he was trying to upload a program to his computer the other day and it said memory full. And he said, I felt the Lord say, that's what it's like when you fill yourself with the Word of God. You're full of the Word of God, and when the devil tries to load in a program, you say, sorry devil, I'm full. I'm full of God's Word, amen? So if you've got the devil trying to throw stuff at you, fill yourself up with the Word of God. Memory full. Sorry, my heart is full of God. There's no room for that stuff from the enemy. So I journaled on this passage the other day. I'll just share my journal with you. Luke 8:15. I love it how Jesus knows all the Old Testament Scriptures. He could have quoted verses and passages just like the Pharisees, and he could have looked like a top scholar speaking from an ivory tower of academia, but he uses parables and stories to communicate the truth. He knows that stories can cut through and reach people. I actually believe Jesus is the best communicator this earth has ever seen. And how did he get through to people's hearts. Because, you know, when you're preaching, when you're speaking, wherever you are communicating, people have walls that go up automatically, don't they? And if you try and teach and you try and rattle off a whole bunch of stats and statistics and verses and whatever, people just get bored and they don't listen. But you tell a story, it gets through the walls and into people's hearts, doesn't it? When Jesus preached, you look at all his stories, all the parables, all the stories, they're all getting through to people's hearts. That's why we need to read the red letters of the Bible, to read, you know. And so Jesus here says in Luke 8:15, the seed in the good earth, these are the ones with good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking until there's a harvest. Jesus said, this story that he's just shared about is about how the seed is the word of God. Some people hear it and the devil snatches it from them so they won't believe and be saved. Some people hear the word of God with enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm doesn't go very deep. It's only another fad. And the moment there's trouble, it's gone. Some people hear the word of God and then the seed is planted, but it's then crowded out. And coming up through it is weeds that grow in. Weeds where you're worrying about tomorrow, you're worrying about money, you're worrying about having fun. But the seed in the good earth are the ones with good hearts who seize the word of God and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. We've been talking at our leaders' meetings a lot recently about how we see many people come to New Hope and give their heart to Jesus and they make a commitment to Christ. But sadly, so many of them can't stick with it. They get the devil coming in, they get addictions coming in, they get money problems, they get sickness, they get all these excuses that come in, and they reject the word of God. And my prayer as the pastor and the shepherd of this church is that, Lord, each of us would have good hearts so that when the seed is sown, it will have a solid foundation. And when the enemy comes and tries to confuse and steal and kill and destroy and have weeds grow up among it, we say, sorry, enemy, memory full. Sorry, devil, my heart is full of God. There's no room for that stuff. How is your heart? Is your heart a good heart that is going to stick with the word of God until the end? You know, Jesus said this, the Bible says this in the Old Testament. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, the eyes of the Lord are searching across the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Just picture that. God, who created everything, is searching across the earth. It's like there's probably 80, 90 people here this morning. You know, imagine if there were 7 billion people here this morning. God is searching, scanning with his eyes, looking across the earth. Oh, there's someone with a heart that's fully committed to him. I'm going to strengthen them. Oh, there's someone with a heart that's fully committed. I'm going to strengthen them. I'm going to strengthen those ones whose hearts are fully committed. And I truly believe one of the most toxic, evil, horrible things on this planet is a religious Christian, a carnal Christian, someone who is going through the motions and is Christian on the outside, but on the inside, their heart isn't fully committed to God. You know, Jesus even goes on and says in the book of Revelation, he said, I know your deeds, that you're neither hot nor cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what Jesus thinks of people who are lukewarm with their hearts. The eyes of the Lord are looking for hearts that are fully committed. All in. Not just Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Not just when you read your Bible in the mornings. Live how you want the rest of the day. Not just when you say grace at the dinner table or you pray with your kids when you put them to bed. He's looking for hearts that are fully committed to him. And his promise is that he'll strengthen you. How's your heart? Are you fully committed to him today? Wise leaders, this is a good quote from A.W. Tozer. He said this, wise leaders should have known that the human heart cannot exist in a vacuum. If Christians are forbidden to enjoy the wine of the Spirit, they'll turn to the wine of the flesh. Christ died for our hearts, and the Holy Spirit wants to come and satisfy them. You know, we could fill our hearts with all this great stuff of the world, the wine of the world and the pleasures of this world. We could fill ourselves with all that kind of stuff. But you know what? They're a counterfeit for what God has for us. God has the wine of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that the Bible says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that when the Apostle Paul wrote that to the church in Ephesus, he was saying that there's a direct correlation. You either get drunk on wine, or you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Your choice. The effects are similar. When you're drunk on wine, you're filled, aren't you? It affects everything that you do. It affects your thoughts, your words. When someone's drunk on wine, it affects them. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with God Himself. You're shining. You're serving. You're caring. You're giving. Your whole life changes when you're filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? Who wants to be have the heart filled with the Holy Spirit? Much better than that other stuff, eh? A.W. Tozer also said this. He said, the neglected heart will soon be a heart overrun with worldly thoughts. And the neglected life will soon become a moral chaos. Have you been neglecting your heart? Have you been letting anything in? The Bible says, guard your heart. Put soldiers around your heart. Put a wall around your heart and don't let the stuff of the enemy come in. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, said this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus. We can try fitting it with alcohol, with drugs, with success, with work, with sex, with money, with whatever. It's like putting a square brick into a round hole. It won't fit. Jesus is the only thing that fills that void, that vacuum in our heart. Francis Schaeffer said this, the beginning of man's rebellion against God was and is the lack of a thankful heart. Once we come before God and we acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, how do you get close to Him? The Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter His courts with praise. We've got to have a thankful heart before God. So the first key I wanted to share today was fill your heart with the Word of God. That's what that parable of the sower is about. Fill it with the Word of God. Second point I want to mention is have a thankful heart before God. Live a life of thankfulness. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for this church. Thank Him for your healing. Thank Him for your salvation. Thank Him that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Live a thankful life. C.S. Lewis wrote in the book The Four Loves, love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Some people aren't willing to give their hearts to God. I felt like after my Job time, after my tough time, when everything was, after my divorce, when everything was gone to the pigs in my life, I felt like I couldn't give my heart to God or to anyone. And then that Pastor Kirk at the Vineyard, he just took me under his wing and he showed me how to love again, showed me it's okay to trust someone with my heart again. You might be in that place where you're not willing to give your heart. It's much better when you learn to trust in the Lord. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and He will direct your paths. He will guide you in all your paths. It's important to be careful what we think in our heart. C.S. Lewis also said this quote, I love this one. But he that looketh on a plate of ham and eggs to lust after it hath already committed breakfast with it in his heart. A good quote. You know, Jesus said, if you look at a woman lustfully, it's the same as committing adultery. Jesus said, if you are angry at your brother, it's the same as murdering him. Jesus said, it's not about your actions, it's actually about your heart. When I was in Cambodia, Pastor Chenna, a 30-year-old young pastor, planted a whole bunch of churches in Cambodia, a great man of God. I interviewed him for History Makers Radio, and I said to him, how did you become a Christian? He said, well, firstly, I heard that the local church was giving away rice, and I was hungry, so I went and got free food. You know, I thought that's a good start, you know. He said, and then the pastor gave me a Bible to read. And he'd been raised as a Buddhist. You know, 95% of Cambodia is Buddhist, and Buddha has a whole bunch of laws that you got to follow if you want to be a good Buddhist, basically. It's actually quite a sexist religion because there are more laws for a woman to follow if you're going to please Buddha than there is for a man. That's a whole other thing. But anyway, he saw that Buddha had some good principles in his commandments. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't do those things. And he thought, well, that's a good moral way to live. But then when he read Jesus talking about these things, if you look at a woman lustfully, you're committing adultery with her. And he saw that Jesus wasn't talking about the body, he was talking about the heart. If you're angry at someone, it's the same as murdering. It's talking about what is your heart like towards someone. And Pastor Chenner said, when he realized that, he thought Buddha was good, but Jesus was God. Big difference. Big difference. And Pastor Chenner has now seen so many Buddhists come to Christ in his church, sharing that testimony, saying, hey, there's some good stuff in Buddhism. There's some nice philosophical things you can follow. It's handy. It's not bad. But Buddha actually said, there's actually some ancient Thai writings that actually say, Buddha said, there is one coming after me who will have scars in his hands and his feet. He's the one you should follow. Buddha actually said that. Can you believe it? You know, Buddhism is the second largest religion in Australia. So look out for all those Buddhists out there in Australia. There's a very different version of Buddhism in Australia compared to Asia. I'm on a tangent, so I'm going to move on. But I'm just encouraging you. Jesus, Buddha was good, but Jesus is God. And God looks at the heart, doesn't he? The Bible says in 1 Samuel, man looks to the outward things, but God looks at your heart. It's all about your heart. Proverbs 17:3 says this, fire tests the purity of silver and gold, but the Lord tests the heart. Today I believe God has got his, whatever those medical things are called. I'm sure some nurse could tell. That's what I was going to say, stethoscope. God's got his spiritual stethoscope on and he's testing your heart today. Is your heart fully committed? Are you in? Is your heart full of love for God and for people? What would God find in your heart today? If we had a big X-ray machine and put it up here and you could see what is inside my heart, what would you see? I would hope you would see love for God, love for the church, love for my wife and kids. You might see, I don't know, I guess I'll be a bit honest, you might see a bit of worry about certain things, you know, worry about money or worry about, a bit of pride might be in my heart, maybe a bit of selfish ambition, maybe a bit of jealousy towards someone, I don't know. I'm not confessing my sins in a big list in front of you. I'm just saying, these are some of the things that maybe in my heart, if there was an X-ray of my heart right now, if the Lord was testing my heart and revealing it to you, what would the Lord see in your heart today? Do you have unforgiveness towards someone? Do you have a grudge? Do you have envy or jealousy? Is there sins that are unconfessed that you need to deal with today? I believe what the Lord reveals, the Lord heals. Amen? What the Lord shows you, the Holy Spirit will convict you. The devil will come and condemn you and say, oh, you've got this filthy sin in your life. You deserve to go to hell. You're a loser. You know, that's what the devil will say. But the Holy Spirit will gently come and say, hey, it's all right. We're going to heal this. We're going to clean this out. It's like when you've got you've tripped over and you've busted your knee open and it's bleeding, you know. There's gravel and there's dirt in there. The Holy Spirit wants to come and clean it out, wash it out, so that it heals well. Not just put a Band-Aid on it. Not just act like it's not there. What happens if you don't clean it out? It festers, gets gangrenous, lose your leg, die. It's lovely, isn't it? But that's what happens if you don't clean out a wound, isn't it? The Holy Spirit wants to clean out that wound. He wants to clean out our hearts today. Here's a good one. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. How important is it to have a cheerful, joyful heart before the Lord, eh? How's your joy quota? You know, kids laugh over 300 times a day, and adults laugh an average of about 7 times a day. Isn't that scary when you think about it? We're a grumpy old lot, aren't we? We've got to be much more full of joy. And sadly, in the church, we can become, you know, the first church of the chosen frozen, you know. We can become very dry and religious in our churches. I actually heard one story where this pastor was up and said, all right, who wants to give a testimony? And this lady got up and she said, oh, the devil's been attacking my family. And the pastor says, you know, you got the authority to rebuke Satan in Jesus' name. And she grabs the microphone and says, devil, beep off in Jesus' name. And everyone goes, the pastor grabs the mic and says, well, that's telling him, isn't it? Good on you, you know. Like, he could have been like, oh, you can't swear in church. You can't. That's terrible. That's unholy. You know, and I certainly don't suggest you go on swearing in church. But you could have been all, you know, but instead they chose to laugh about it. They chose to be joyful about it. There's two ways you can handle situations, isn't there? you can be all grumpy and worried and religious and fuddy-duddy about it. We can just be full of joy. We just got to enjoy. I mean, I think New Hope is one of the most joyful churches I've been in. Seriously, I love this church. Are you guys a joyful bunch? Yeah? Hallelujah. We don't want to be fake about it because, you know, there is a fake happiness you can have where you can act like you're fine and, you know, you can be like the duck that's swimming along, all fine on the bottom and the legs are going like crazy underneath. You can be like that easily, can't you? Know? But there is a joy that comes in our heart from Jesus, isn't there? And it's the best witness, isn't it? You know, I've shared before, you know, some people said to me, what kind of drug are you on, you know? Jesus! Holy Spirit, absolutely. Gives you, you know, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy. Peace, kind of, you know. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's good stuff. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says this, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Everything you do flows out of it. So guard your heart. Don't let any junk come in from the enemy. Fill it with the Word of God. Be thankful. Be full of joy. Full of the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Amen? I think it's interesting there. It says, they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Sure, it was great, the message I brought the other week about all the practical stuff about the battlefield of the body and living healthy and all that, that's all great. But here the Word of God actually says, if you pay attention to God's words, don't let them out of your sight, keep them in your heart, it's life and health to you. A cheerful heart is health to your body. All that stuff, I believe it should be both ends. You've got to live a healthy life and look after your heart. But how many people are out there just being fitness junkies, but their heart's full of junk? It should be the heart first, and then it flows out into the body, amen? You know, I believe one of the principles that's important about having a good heart is hanging around others who have a good heart. I've spent time working alongside and in family and whatever with toxic people before. People who are just negative and they try and drag you down with every word they say, every conversation, they just try and drag you down. And I believe you've got to love people and give them a certain amount of time, but you've got to put up a boundary and guard your heart. You've got to make sure you don't let them drag you down. Look for the people you know that have a good heart and hang around with them. Hang around eagles, you'll end up flying. You hang around dogs, you'll end up with fleas. You hang around like chickens, you'll end up clucking. Look for people around you with a good heart. And that osmosis will happen. That's why I married Carol. I wanted to be like her. You know, I wanted to have a heart like her, you know. And a whole bunch of other reasons. You know, they say if you look at the five people who are closest to you, that's what you'll be like in 5 years' time. The average of what those five people are in their life. Who are the five closest people to you in your life? That's probably what you'll end up like in 5 years' time. It's important to have good people around you. Jesus has got to be the number one person. That's good. I was going to like that. Jesus has got to be the number one person. Absolutely. And the Father and the Holy Spirit. There you go. That's three. You just got to find two, aren't you? Are you hanging around people with toxic hearts? Because it'll affect you and your heart. Are you hanging around people with good hearts, with pure hearts? Be wise in the people that you hang around. Matthew 6:19 says this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Billy Graham said, give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook, and I'll tell you where their heart is. in today's modern day terms, look at someone's bank account online and you'll see where their money's going, you'll see where their heart is. I truly believe that the way that we handle our finances is a test of where our heart is. Where are we sowing into? That's where we'll reap. What are we giving into? That's what we'll receive. Colossians 3 verse 23 talks about in our work life, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. It's that idea that we have a kingdom mindset. You know, it's interesting, last week at Ben and Jody's church, I had a word for them, and I actually believe it's appropriate for our church as well. The Lord showed me a vision of a castle, and it was a beautiful castle, but it was built on sand, and it got washed away. You know, the parable that Jesus talked about, the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built his house on the sand. But then he showed me a great big castle that was built on the rock, and it had a big fortress around it, and inside of it was kingdom culture. Because you see, the kingdom culture and the world's culture are opposite. The world says it's all about me. The kingdom says it's all about God and others. The world says it's all about making money for yourself. The kingdom says it's all about, I want to earn money because it's God's money. I want to give it and bless people. The world says you've got to climb that corporate ladder and live for, you know, your selfish ambition and your pride and prove to everyone how good you are. The kingdom says humble yourself. Honor God. Put him at number one, and he will raise you up at the right time. Inside this castle, there was a kingdom culture. And out of that castle, I saw a brick was taken and it was planted somewhere else. And then that formed another castle. And out of that castle, another brick came out and it planted somewhere else. And it became a movement of kingdom castles that was a fortress against the ways of the world. And I really believe New Hope Brisbane and Pour It Out Church and other churches that we're connecting with, we are going to see a kingdom culture opposite to the world, and it's going to be so powerful and strong that the enemy can't take away what's been planted, and we'll plant others. And out of our kingdom culture, more churches will be planted, and more will be a movement of churches in the future. I really believe that. Luke 21, verse 1 to 4 says this, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these and out of their abundance have put in their offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. That's a kingdom culture. That widow that just gave the mites, just gave the little bit, she gave with all of her heart, didn't she? She gave out of everything she had, she gave everything. The rich guy, who had billions of dollars, just gave 10, 20 bucks and just gave, you know, what was left over. And it's that principle that Carol was saying before. If you want to guard your heart, if you want to see where your treasure is, if you want to see if your heart's right before God, you give God what's first. You honor him with your first fruits. You give to, you sow into the kingdom first, and then everything else follows after that. I love the worship song, and part of my prayer today that us as a church, we'll pray this. We'll say, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. What breaks God's heart? You look through the scriptures, you look at the words of the Lord. The Lord cares for the poor and the needy. It breaks his heart when they are rejected and treated unjustly. And that's why as a church we felt God speak to us about launching New Hope Care and reaching out to the poor and the lonely and the wounded, because that's God's heart. That breaks God's heart when they're not cared for. And it brings joy to God's heart when we care for them. Amen? God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it when we're generous and we're sowing and we're reaching out. He loves it when we care for children. God, you know, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. God loves children. God loves it when there's healthy marriages. God loves it when we worship in spirit and in truth. Which means on the flip side, it breaks God's heart when we're religious and we're stuffy in our worship. It breaks God's heart when we don't care for the poor. It breaks God's heart when we don't give and we're not generous. It breaks God's heart when we don't care for children. It breaks God's heart when there is unhealthy marriages and the wrong definition of marriage and the wrong, you know, and divorces and all that. It breaks God's heart. friend, I want to encourage you today. Ask God, what breaks your heart? What is your heart for me, Lord God? I truly believe today that the Father is going to give an infusion of His love into our hearts today. You know, I can honestly say, and Carol would remember me when we first met, my heart was hard and calloused, broken. I would not trust God or trust another person with my heart. But He did some divine heart surgery in me. And I got a revelation of the love of the Father. My human father loved me a bit, and he's a good bloke, and I honor him and I love him. But His love doesn't compare to the Father's love for me. Once I got a revelation that I'm not an orphan, I have a heavenly Father who loves me because He loves me, because He loves me, because He loves me. And when I can receive His love in my heart, it changed the whole way I live. It changed my thinking in the battlefield of the mind. It changed the way I treat my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, in the battlefield of the body. And it changed my heart. And whenever there's a battlefield in my heart right now, I just say, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, infuse your Father's love into my heart. And I truly believe this is the key to living the Christian life, receiving the Father's love and giving out the Father's love. Receiving the Father's love and giving out the Father's love. Carol just said, and to whom much is given, much is required. I see many people with broken hearts. I talk with many people in our church whose hearts they are not willing to give to God or to give to others. And I believe this is a church, the first church of the Holy Heart Surgery. We've got to be a church that looks at people's hearts and prays for people and cares for people and nurtures people's hearts. You know, there was a young girl who used to come to New Hope years ago, and I'm not going to mention her name because some of you know her, but she had a run-in with a bloke, and she all sorts of trouble happened, and they both left the church. And Carol and I caught up with her for dinner one night and just said, hey, we love you, we miss you, are you okay? And she challenged me, and it was something that was probably one of the heaviest things I've ever heard as a pastor, but I needed to hear it. She said, as a pastor, I needed you to protect my heart in that circumstance. Because she'd had a guy trample over her heart and mistreat her heart. And she just needed a father who loved her and cared for her and nurtured her heart. And time again, I just see people in our church whose hearts have been trampled on and broken and wounded. Just got to know the Father's heart of love, the Father's heart to heal our broken hearts. And since that girl challenged me on that day, whenever I see someone mistreated, I want to be the one that stands in the gap and says, no more. Jesus paid the price for your heart to be healed. Guard your heart. Let me stand alongside you and help you protect your heart from any more attacks of the enemy. We've got to get that revelation that the Father loves our heart and He wants to heal our heart and protect our heart. And that's why church is so important. You get outside the protection of the church, you're outside in the army when they're fighting, and they've got their stronghold. You get outside into the enemy's territory, you're anyone's game. Get picked off by a gun, a bomb, you can get picked off by all sorts of terrorism, all sorts of trouble. But when you're in the safety of a church, it's a place where we lock shields together, we stand together with the authority of the Lord Jesus, we pray together, we love each other, and we care for one another's hearts. I know I'm joking when I say we want to be the first church of the Holy Heart Surgery, but I want us to be a church that nurtures and cares for each other's hearts, protecting those who have hearts that are hurting. I might ask the worship team to come if they could. And one of the last verses I want to share is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give you the reason for the hope that you have. Have you set apart Christ as Lord in your heart today? What does your heart need? What's lacking in your heart today? Is it empty? Is it dry? Is it wounded? Is it crushed? What does your heart need? Is it full of unforgiveness towards someone? Is there someone that's done wrong to you and you just are not going to forgive them and you are just going to say, I'm not going to forgive them. They deserve my anger. Let me tell you, that's not the way of the kingdom. That's not kingdom culture. Kingdom culture is bless those who persecute you. Overcome evil with good. Forgive those who've sinned against you as the Father has forgiven you, Jesus said. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you need to deal with it today. God wants to clean out that unforgiveness out of your heart. If you've got bitterness and envy and strife and worldliness in your heart, Jesus said, if you confess your sins before me, I will forgive you of all your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can have your heart cleansed today if you confess your sin to him. In Ephesians 3, this is the prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, and it's my prayer for you today. He says, for this reason, I bow my knee and pray to the Father. It is from him that every family in heaven and earth has its name. I pray that because of the riches of his shining greatness, he will make you strong with power in your hearts through the Holy Spirit. I pray that Christ may live in your hearts by faith. I pray that you'll be filled with love. I pray that you'll be able to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is. I pray that you will know the love of Christ. His love goes beyond anything we can understand. I pray that you'll be filled with God himself. God is able to do much more than we ask or think through his power working in us. May we see his shining greatness in the church. May all the people in all time honor Christ Jesus. Let it be so. Let's stand to our feet and let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will pour out your love in this place today. Lord, would you come and heal broken hearts today? Those that have been wounded, those that have unforgiveness, those that have anger or worldliness, those that have addiction. Whatever junk is filled in people's hearts today, come and reveal and come and heal in the name of Jesus. Just with every eye closed and every head bowed,